Thank you, ladies. If you believe what they sing, say amen, really. He's alive, isn't he? And we're here today to celebrate. May not be celebration weather, but we're going to celebrate anyway. Amen? Somebody says, well, we don't have a sunrise. Well, we do have a sunrise. You just don't see it. It's up there. And we have some clouds. But I'm glad you came and braved the weather. I think we have around 80 or 90 people here, and so that's good. And I want you to take your Bibles now as we think about celebrating. We're celebrating the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And we do it on the first day of the week, not on Saturday. Amen? And I want to speak this morning on the subject, yes, he arose. Very simple statement. Yes, he arose. 1 Corinthians 15, just one verse for our verse this morning. Verse 14, 1 Corinthians 15, yes, Christ arose. And this one verse is so pivotal, so important to us to realize and understand. Because everything hinges on this. It all does. So look at what he says in 1 Corinthians 15, 14, this one verse. And if Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain, and your faith is also vain. Let me read that again. Look at it. If Christ be not risen, then is our preaching vain. I'm just doing foolishness up here today, if that's the case. And your faith is also vain, if Christ be not risen. Well, could God raise Jesus from the grave? Well, I believe the Bible says that he could and that he did. The Epicureans and the Stoics in that day, the logical thinkers in so many different ways, said it's impossible. It cannot happen. It just doesn't happen. Nobody is going to be raised from the dead. There's no way that it can happen. Paul had a question for those people in that day. And he asked the question this way. He said, why should it be thought a thing incredible that God should raise the dead? Why should anybody think that it's incredible that God the Father should raise his Son from the grave? Because when we know who God is, then we don't have any problem understanding that he could raise his Son from the grave. Impossibilities? Absolutely not impossibilities. And if we just get it right about God, if you'll admit God, if people would just admit God, then that'll solve the whole problem of the resurrection. Because God has all power and God is there. You know, some of the brainy scientists have decided years ago, they came up with a theory that all matter in our brains and everything that had importance was just phosphorus. That's all it is, just phosphorus. And there's no explanation otherwise than the fact that it's all just phosphorus. And that our bodies will just decay away and all that would be left will be phosphorus and it'll just go back to the grave. And I'm telling you, if it's just phosphorus, as one old black preacher said, he was talking about it and he was arguing with a friend of his and he was saying that the only thing that'd be left would just be phosphorus all over the place. He said, well, I've got news for you. He said, those of us that are saved, we're going to rise first and our phosphorus is going up first and you, the rest of you are going to have to be scratching for yours to try to find it because you're not going to find any. No, we know that we're created in the image of God. God's a creator. If God could create the sun that we don't see this morning, and he did, and the moon and the stars, and if God could speak this earth into existence, and he did, just by his powerful word, if God could make the birds and the animals and the beautiful flowers and all of those things, and God did all of that, and God could make the luminiferous rainbow, and all of the things that God has done, then God would have no problem raising his Son from the grave. It's a matter of getting that right. It's a matter of admitting there is a God And God is the creator, and God has that kind of power, and that settles the whole issue. Could God raise his son from the grave? Oh, yes. And he did, amen? He raised him from the grave. Did he raise him? Well, DeWitt, one of the well-known rationalists of days gone by, finally came up with this, even in his rationalization, in his secularism, made this statement, which excited a lot of people. He said, the resurrection of Jesus Christ cannot be called into doubt any more than the historical certainty of the assassination of Caesar. In other words, it is of equal value in history to say that Jesus Christ arose as to say that Caesar was killed or any other great historical fact. It is a fact of history that Jesus Christ arose. You say, well, I don't know about that. Well, I can tell you there are some great witnesses that say that he arose. There were some angels who said, why stand you here gazing? He's not here. He has risen just as he said he would. And Jesus told them that he was going to be raised from the grave. And those angels verified it, and they testified, and I believe what the Bible says. This book is without error, amen? We can trust this book. Nobody's proven this book wrong. This is God's Word. And God's Word says that the angel said, he's not here. He's risen. He is not here. The Lord Jesus Christ appeared at least 11 different times after his resurrection. His post-resurrection appearances. You can study it and find it in the gospel accounts. 11 different times where Jesus in his resurrected body appeared to people who saw him and knew that he had been raised from the dead. What about his disciples? Oh, I know. They say, well, they got together. Judas messed up and the other 11 got together and they said, hey, we've got to work this thing out. We've got to come up with some kind of story and we've got to agree on it. And so they came up with some kind of story that says, well, we're going to agree that to tell everybody he arose. And so they lied. No, they didn't lie, my dear friend. They didn't lie. They died. They so believed it and were so convinced of it and so knew it was the truth that they were willing to lay their lives on the line. And as far as we know, all of them were martyrs. They were martyred, and Paul came in later, and he too was killed in the Mamertine prison. You see, they don't lie and make up a story like that and be willing to die for it unless it's the truth. They're not willing to go out and die for it, and they were willing to die for it. The enemies that were there tried to find all kinds of evidence. They looked here, and they looked there, and they looked yonder, and they put all the facts they could together and tried to find some reason to prove to the world that Jesus had not come out of that tomb. But I'm telling you, they couldn't find anything because there was nothing to find. There was no evidence whatsoever, not one stitch of evidence that Jesus did not come out of the grave. And I know we have those theories, and they still run around with them, the theory that there was the stolen body, that somehow the disciples stole the body and took off with it. That doesn't even make any sense whatsoever. The rationale behind that whole thing would make no sense whatsoever. They wouldn't dare have tried to do that in a situation in that way because it would certainly violate the proof that Jesus Christ was really the Son of God. And so that is garbage and baloney to say that they stole the body and to say that Jesus, he never really died. He went into a swoon, a deep swoon. I can tell you, I believe if I was swooning and they put a spear in my side that I'd get over the swoon, don't you? There wasn't a swoon. Jesus died. And he actually gave up the ghost, as the Bible says. He actually died on the cross of Calvary. And there are those who say, well, all of those folks were just fooled and they had visions and hallucinations. Visions and hallucinations. 500 people at one time had the same vision, the same hallucination. I don't think that was an accident, my dear friend. No, they knew that Jesus Christ arose, and they knew that he was alive, and he is alive today. Thank God for that. Now, God, why did you raise him? I don't think God had any problem doing it, and I think God did it. But God, why did you raise your son from the grave? Reason number one, to let the whole world know that Jesus Christ, what he said was coming true, and that he was deity. That his word was true. You see, if he'd have said he was going to come out of the grave and he hadn't, it would have been all over. It would have been a joke. He would have been a religious fanatic, and people would have laughed him to scorn. But God raised him from the dead to prove that everything that he said, you destroy this temple. He wasn't talking about the temple. That's what made him mad, not the temple there on Mount Moriah. But he said, if you destroy this temple, my body, in 3 days, I'm going to raise it up again. And so the Lord Jesus Christ did exactly what he said, and God did it so that they would know that he was divinity. Not only that, but that every believer, and that's you and me, I hope, here today, that all of us who are believers, who know Christ and name Christ as our Savior, that we would have the assurance that we have been justified in the Lord Jesus Christ. I am a justified person today. I'm justified. Oh, I'm a sinner, saved by grace. But because Jesus came out of that tomb, it's proof to me that I am truly justified before the Father, and I am accepted in the Beloved, and I'm on my way to heaven today because I've been justified, and Jesus arose to prove my justification. The Bible says he was raised again for our justification. I'm justified. Old Bill Harvey used to sing that song. Some of you remember him. He would sing, justified. I'm justified in Jesus today. And I thank God I am. How about you? I believe you are too. And I'm glad that we are. And then that men might know that the judgment is coming. And the Lord spoke of that in the scriptures, that men might know that the judgment is coming. Acts 17:31, God hath appointed a day in the which he will judge the world in righteousness by Jesus Christ. Wherefore he hath given assurance unto all men. Given assurance unto all men that that's going to happen. He hath given assurance unto all men. How? In that he raised him from the dead. They can be sure that there will be a judgment day because Christ is alive. And he is the eternal judge. And then that we might know that someday we too are going to be raised. We may be raptured, but we're going to be raised from the grave. You know, sometimes we stand by the grave of a loved one, and if you've never been there, you don't know some of the feelings that you get during that time. And you stand there by the grave, and they, in some cases, watch them lower the casket down into the dirt, into the dugout place, or you know that's where it's going to go. And maybe you're sitting there or standing there, and you're thinking, you know, I know what I've been taught, and I know what I believe. I know what the Bible says, but will I really see my loved one again? Will I really see my loved one again as they are lowered down or as we part from the graveside? Will we ever see them again? Well, if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, the Bible says, even so them which sleep in Jesus will God bring with him. My mother and my dad, who have gone on to be with the Lord, our brothers, our sisters, maybe a child that passed away. I see Brother Pounds here, and I'm not trying to embarrass you, but recently his wife passed away. Brother Pounds, we're going to see her again. Ms. Trowbridge, we're going to see her again. Why? Because Jesus said, even so them which sleep in Christ, Jesus is going to bring with him. Mother, dad, and all are going to be raised from the grave. And I'm glad the Bible says it's not as if there is no hope. You see, everything depends on the resurrection. Every bit of it. I mean, if we don't have that, we have nothing. Our faith is vain. Our preaching is vain. Our life is a goose egg. It's nothing. It's a bubble. But thank God everything depends on the resurrection. How do I know that if I believe in Jesus Christ, I am saved because of the resurrection? How do I know that the blood of Jesus Christ that He shed on the cross really cleanses me from all of my sin? How do I know that? Because He arose. That's how I know it. How do I know that He's gone to prepare a place for me? He's gone to prepare a place for me. How do I know? Because He arose. He came out of the grave. He came out of the tomb. And I know that He's preparing a mansion for me. I like what Dr. Barber says. If you think it's a cabin over in the corner of Glory Land, you might ought to check with your real estate agent. Amen? Because it's not. It's a mansion in heaven. Thank God for that. How do I know I'm going to have a mansion? How do I know I'm going to heaven because of that? How do I know when I come up to the door of death and I'm facing death, if Christ does not come in my lifetime, how do I know when I come to death that the sting is going to be taken out of it? Because Christ arose. And believe me, the preachers that are here and the evangelists, missionaries, we've stood by the bedside of people who have died. We've stood by those who were saved. We've stood by those who were unsaved. And I want to tell you, Jesus takes the sting out of death to the believer. Takes the sting out of death. And I'm glad for that. Oh, grave, where is thy sting? You know, it's all swallowed up. Swallowed up in what? Victory. And that's what we're celebrating today, victory. How do I know I'll be like Him? Someday I'll have a body like His. How do I know that? Because He arose and walked around in that glorified body. I like that kind of body. You walk through a door, sit down, eat some honey and fish and all of that, and then get up and walk back through the door and you have no problems. We can't imagine what it's going to be like to have a body like Jesus. But only because He arose. How do I know, as Paul said this, the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory which shall be revealed in me? How do I know these sufferings are not worthy to be compared? We have a lot of heartaches, a lot of disappointments, a lot of suffering, a lot of problems, a lot of pain in life. We have those things. How do I know that it's going to be worth all of that? And it's not worthy to be compared with heaven because Christ arose. Because He came out of the tomb. He arose. And I can hear, if you've been there to Israel, you've seen the tomb. If we could ask the tomb to speak to us this morning, the tomb might say, well, everything seemed to be normal that day, and the birds were singing, and all of was sort of quiet outside, but all of a sudden, I heard some noise, and I saw some angels enter into me, the tomb speaking. And all of a sudden, I heard something snap, and there seemed to be an earthquake, and I heard the stone rolling away from the very front. And then I observed the tomb looking now that Jesus got up and took the napkin and put it off of His face somewhere else and got rid of the linen cloths and said to the angels, the women are coming in a little while and you tell them that I'm not here, I've risen, and go let the other people know that the very same thing has happened. Thank God the tomb is empty. I've been there, it's empty. Dr. Barber, you've been there. Some of you have been there. The tomb is empty. What a humbling experience to kneel down just like they did that morning and walk in and see in that new tomb over there on the right-hand side, it's absolutely empty. He is not there. Thank God He has risen. I've been serving the Lord 61 years now, faltering and sometimes very feeble in my service, stumbling often. But I can tell you one thing, my friend. I pity the man who does not know Jesus Christ. I pity the person who does not believe in a resurrected Savior. I'm telling you today, He's alive. And we're going to be with Him. And someday He's coming again. And thank God, He arose. Amen? Amen. Christ arose. Aren't you glad you're saved today? And I'm glad it's not just fall to raw. It's the truth of the Word of God that Jesus Christ came out of that tomb. And that's why Christianity is the only way to heaven and the only right religion. All the others are false. Their leaders are dead. But ours is at the right hand of the Father, making intercession for us. Hallelujah, what a Savior. Can you say that with me? Hallelujah, what a Savior. And He is. Let's pray. Would you stand, please, and let's just pray. Our Father, we thank You today that the resurrection took place. All-powerful, omnipotent God, we know that You, in the Holy Trinity, all involved, raised Jesus from the grave, from the tomb. We thank You today we serve a risen Savior. We thank You for the blessed hope we have, knowing that someday we too will be with Jesus in a resurrected body. And what a wonderful thing, for all of eternity we shall share in that resurrected body and the victory and the glory of the cross. Thank You that it takes the sting out of death for us. And God, we bless Thy name and praise Thy name today for the eternal plan of salvation. Because He lives, we can face tomorrow. And God, help us to celebrate this day with that in mind. And may we leave here more determined to remember that we've been bought with a price, we're not our own. And to remember the victory that we can live in and to serve You with all of our heart, our resurrected Savior. We make this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.